Welcome to the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, where you'll get actionable tips and advice on major gifts, direct response fundraising, legacy giving, and much more from leading experts in the nonprofit sector. Now, here are your hosts of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, Andrew Olson and Roy Jones.
Hey, this is Andrew Olson, host of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, and I'm here with two great long-term friends, Jeff Klewer and Kat Landa. Jeff is the CEO of ViewSpark, and Kat is vice president at ViewSpark. And we're here at CityGate Network's national convention this week, talking with a lot of rescue mission leaders from all across the U.S. and Canada. And Jeff, I just before we get started, I'd love for you to give us some background. First of all, who you are, and then also share with us what is ViewSpark and how did it come about?
Thanks, Andrew. Well, I'm the CEO of ViewSpark. I started ViewSpark about 4 years ago. I've been in the fundraising space about 25 years. Actually, I think it's now been about 30, looking back at numbers. I spent some time on the agency side. Then I went to the University of Southern California, and I was running the fundraising at the Cancer Center there, the Norris, and did a couple other stops. Worked at a high school, Christian high school, and then for Joe Torre's Baseball Foundation. And then I got recruited back to SC, and this is what really happened for me. I was an associate dean, and I was running a $50 million campaign as part of the USC $6 billion campaign. And I tell you the numbers, they're very large numbers, and only because, you know, we were closing very large gifts. We closed $5 million gifts. We closed annual fund gifts of $50, you know, those types of gifts, all kinds of gifts. And yet we had no way of engaging our donors and communicating back to them what we're doing with the money that they've given to us. And so I looked at the technology in the space, and I noticed, you know, there's a bunch of crowdfunding, there's a bunch of social media type technology. Of course, there's a bunch of companies that'll fix your website and make your website look good. But no one had focused on that engagement technology. This is what we did with the dollars you've given to us. And so, you know, at USC, we did a great job of taking money from donors. We did a great job of building buildings and creating, you know, scholarships and doing great research. But again, no one had focused on that engagement component. I had a couple conversations with my dad, who spent 50 years as executive vice president at World Vision, running marketing and fundraising. And he says the same thing. He said, you know, we did a great job over 50 plus years of, you know, raising money and feeding kids and digging wells. But again, we didn't communicate back to the donors very well. This is what's happening with your giving. And if he were on this podcast, he would say, we never gave donors the joy of giving. That's his phrase. And he's not on this podcast because it would be 3 hours instead of 30 minutes.
So, those are your words, not mine.
I can say that. He is our chairman. And he is a brilliant fundraiser. So I left USC to start ViewSpark. You know, early on, we raised some capital, and I kind of begged 10 clients to try it, to say, hey, would you just try this? And, you know, the concept was, how can we take communication and tell donors what we're doing with their dollars, not just ask them for a gift, but to say, you know, this is what's happening with the money you've already given to us, and to say thank you. So we started with 10 clients. We had a phenomenal response, absolutely phenomenal response. And I started kind of digging in and saying, what do we have here? And recognized that it was working really, really well. We started growing. And that's when I realized I needed some help. And I brought Kat Landa onto our team. And we've had a phenomenal run now. We've got about 50 clients we're working with across a wide spectrum of verticals. We work with a lot of rescue missions and food banks and some national and international clients as well, emergency relief. And kind of a good variety of that.
Wow, 50 clients. I remember when I think it was 3 or 4.
Yeah.
when we met at Earth Cafe in Pasadena, probably almost 4 years ago.
That's
pretty awesome growth, man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
congratulations. You. Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. This is not how most tech companies start. I know both of you very well. In fact, for our listeners, Jeff was my second boss when I when I got into fundraising almost 20 years ago, and Kat and I worked together for like 10 years.
I take credit for that too, by the way.
You should. Neither of you are technologists. You're not coders. You're not programmers. You know, that's different than the way most tech companies launch. And I think it's also really critical to who you are as an organization. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for the product itself and its continued use with more and more clients, because we are bringing to the table what we most needed. you know, as fundraisers? Where were the gaps? What couldn't I accomplish? What did I really want for my clients that we couldn't do with the existing technology? So we've been there, we've been in the seat, and we know what it's like to not be able to find a great solution or a tool to accomplish what you need to do in terms of communication and engagement with donors. And I can't tell you how many times we sat with a client and said, just go outside, just go out and grab a video of something that's happening right now. Go out to the warehouse, go out to the program and go talk to someone and get a quick soundbite from them and send that out. People are going to be so excited to see something like that from you. And now we finally, you know, we couldn't get people to do it then because that's just too complicated. You know, how do I do that? What phone do I use? Where do I go? But now with this technology, it really does put the power of sharing that hallway conversation in that real-time moment right into someone's hands. And I think only from a perspective that starts with working with donors and fundraisers would you necessarily come up with that concept, you know? And I think that's sort of how it happened versus coming from a point of view of like, what kind of technology could we build today and how many people can we sell it to, you know? Yeah. So it's just a different approach.
We've surrounded ourselves with some very smart technology folks who handle that side. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun as we've presented and shared our technology with nonprofits. We actually had a group a couple weeks ago who applauded at the end of the presentation.
Like physically applauded.
Physically applauded. That's pretty cool. And said, congratulations. And we hear a lot of folks say, congratulations, you know, you filled the gap. You met the need. And again, like Kat said, it just, you know, we've been in that seat. We've been there for years, for decades, and we knew exactly what was needed. And that's why we built ViewSpark.
Awesome. I have got some clients that use the platform, and I've actually, my team has deployed it for a couple of those clients. So we have a little bit deeper experience than probably some. And what I'm always amazed by, the technology is so simple to use, but it's also really robust. So being able to do things like segment your audience and messaging right within the platform and not having to do that in your CRM and then feed a file in. I mean, those things make it so convenient. So from a technology perspective, it's really easy to use, but technology is only one piece of it, right? You know, strategy and content are so critical. Talk a little bit about the clients that you have that are most successful. What are they doing differently in that space?
I think the most important thing to remember is with any technology or marketing strategy is to keep it simple, right? You know, you can easily look at a tool like this, and I've been on the phone with people who said, oh my gosh, okay, this is what we've been needing, and I'm going to actually need 100 user licenses, and I'm going to put this in 23 countries
Or I'm going to hire someone to do
this. I'm going to hire someone to do and that's where we go, like, time out, you know, hold on a second. You know, it's so much simpler than that, and we can get there, and we want you to get there, but we want you to be successful. So it's really just about, yeah, keeping it simple. And content-wise, yeah, you know, you have to have a basic strategy, but our average user spends about 7 minutes a week.
7 minutes a week?
7 minutes a week, putting that time and thought and energy into getting something out. And really, we coach people on a couple of basic things. Get one out a week. It's basically an update, right? And it's just different than some of the other communications that you have going out. So get one out a week and you're going to see success. So 7 minutes is pretty simple. I think almost everybody can kind of do that. And we've had, you know, great conversations like with Penny yesterday. And I love her quote. She was basically, gosh, if I can do this, anybody can do this, right? So you guys have proven that anyone can use the system. So it's really simple in terms of that. Now, I think there's so much, you know, you can add, working with your agency or others, a really robust strategy around that, but you don't necessarily need to dive into a 12-month plan of what in the heck am I going to put out. So I think the best things that happen are the more raw, the more real, the better.
That's really the heart of it.
That is it. Raw, real content. And it's that getting leadership in front of that phone, because we're all mobile, you know, and saying, hey, I'm walking into this meeting. Would you pray for us right now? Or can you be thinking about us at this board meeting? We're going to make some decisions. Or, hey, this is John I just met in the hallway, and he's going through our program, and he's doing great. And whatever that is, that very in the moment, raw, real content is what really works.
What we're hearing back from their donors is interesting too. I mean, we, you know, join up, please pray for us. We're going to a planning session. And then you get these responses from the donors saying, thanks for including us. We feel like we're a part of what's happening now. What's your phrase, Kat, about being behind the scenes? Or
it's just about being like in the insider circle.
Yeah, right. Insider circle.
Suddenly you're pulled into the mission in a way that you never were before because you're seeing and hearing the pulse of the organization as it's rolling through its week.
Yeah, you know, we like to say that, you know, for the longest time, fundraising, especially for organizations like Rescue Ministries, has been all about extracting value from a donor. And it sounds like what you guys are really focusing on is how do you push that value back to the donor?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
And it's so much easier these days because the content that people want is more that raw and real feel and simple. One of my favorite stories, we work with a Catholic Charities organization that was responding to Hurricane Florence.
Okay.
And the executive director had left, and a small organization, and they had an administrative assistant who now inherited ViewSpark. And Florence hits and she says, what do I do? And, you know, as Kat said, we kind of typically say, you know, once a week, send a ViewSpark with an update and maybe once a month ask for a gift. Well, in an emergent situation, we talk about, you know, once a day, you know, when there's something going on, you kind of have permission to talk once a day. So I just said once a day, walk outside Molly and take a picture and write a couple words and send it out because they were doing some food distribution in their parking lot. And the pictures were very raw and the people were very distant in the photos, and they raised thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands of dollars. It was simple. It was taking a picture or a video. And then it was 354 people helped today. We're here distributing food right now. And again, that feel of this is what's happening right now, as opposed to the stock photo or something that happened 3 weeks ago that finally got processed and was able to share.
Yeah.
Not to mention that this group happened to only have 154 names on their file.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, not even donors. So it was just
they
names.
They weren't even donors. Yeah. It was like people they just kind of collected on a sheet of paper, right? So I get a lot of questions, you know, oh, this sounds like a big technology and we only have 10,000 donors. So I think it's too big for us. And I'm like, it's not too big for you. It's really scalable. And we have many clients kind of in that just smaller range that are building their files through sharing through something like this. So
you mentioned sort of the emergency situations. And we know that for certain technology platforms, for things like text messaging, right, that those only really work when there's a large scale emergency, when there's, you know, free media coverage, things like that. So when we think about big things like Hurricane Katrina, right? That's mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. Red Cross was able to raise millions of dollars with SMS messaging. But it sounds like what I hear from you is that's one way that your clients are using the platform, but you have clients raising thousands of dollars regularly outside of any kind of emergency situation. This isn't just a tool you would use for that.
Right. It really comes down to like weekly communication with your donors. And that can be too frequent for some organizations. We have some organizations where there is a figurehead or someone who is a prominent, you know, who's well known. Mm-hmm. We have a church group that we work with that the head bishop is very well known, and he does kind of a message of the week. It's every Monday morning he does a message. Kat, you know the numbers about the monthly gift conversion better than I do for them. It's been phenomenal to see what they've been able to do.
Yeah, they're very focused on monthly gift, and that's really what their ask is around. And through the giving flow that we've built out as part of the tool, we're focused there as well at getting people to convert over to monthly. And he's had upwards of 65% of the folks that he's communicating to and coming through the platform convert over to be monthly donors.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, I know when
he's committed to it, but it's absolutely working for him.
I know with one of our clients, you know, they had we use the ViewSpark platform, not just in the app environment, but also the donation page on their website. And they were seeing like 11% conversion on the website without even asking for a monthly gift, which is unheard of in our space. So it seems like whatever you're doing in that area is working really well.
Yeah. Yeah. The other piece too on that, we have clients in terms of communication. We have clients who said to us, we don't want to raise money with ViewSpark. We simply want to engage our donors in more of like a major donor environment.
Sure.
And the thinking there, and you know, it's, you know, I'm going to send you an update, Mrs. Smith, you know, thanks for your gift. Here are people, you know, using the microscope that you helped purchase for the lab, you know, that type of thing. And their thinking is, you know, I'll be able to do a couple of those communications and then sit down with Mrs. Smith and say, Mrs. Smith, would you write a check for $25,000?
Sure.
And of course, she would say, thanks for giving me an update and showing me what actually my money did instead of, you know, just going in the dark and then coming back and asking me for another gift. So
that's great. So the other thing that we see right now is acquisition is just really tough. Are any of your clients using the ViewSpark platform to acquire supporters?
Yeah, actually, part of of the platform, of course, is the text kind of space and world. And that has changed so significantly in the last 10 years. You know, text to give is not text to give anymore,
right?
So we're not working through phone companies with limited amounts of donor information and, you know, $10 a pop. So the texting environment has changed rapidly, and it's really coming for us. So one way that we help on the acquisition side of things is that part of the program is sort of the keyword and short code combination. So if you've ever heard anybody say, you know, text help to 555-888, and XYZ will happen, right? So we have the ability to return a message to folks that is about giving, direct giving, and there's a giving link there. We have the ability to change that message into a sign up link or any message really that you wanted. So that combination of communication is really important. If you're in a big audience or at an event or anywhere where you're just kind of hosting a group of people and having a conversation about the mission that you're on, you can offer that information and then they're immediately added to the system.
Okay.
So you can scoop up, you know, dozens and hundreds of people at anything like that by using that keyword short code combination and then pulling them into the system. And then immediately after, they're in there and you can send them one of these updates.
Gotcha.
Hey, it was awesome to meet you last night at this event. And I just want to continue to encourage you or update you or tell you what we did today with that, you know, support that you've already given.
So, Jeff, you shared with me at one point a client of yours that was doing some event engagement and had some real good success around this. Tell us about that.
It was a marriage organization that did a marriage retreat, and they were talking. It was kind of a newer audience to them. They had a lot of folks attending that were not, you know, not registered or didn't have email or communication. And they got up on stage and they just talked about, you know, we've got this great event where we can encourage you and inspire you, but we want to send other updates and give you more information to support you and encourage you. We put a keyword and short code out there. You know, if you want to learn more, text, I think it was TMR to 555-888. And from there, they were able to start getting communication with email or text. And then about half the audience, it was about 300, there's about 600 people in the audience, about 300 people texted to connect. And, you know, I'm a fundraiser. I was there at the event and I thought, oh, they'll get 10%, maybe 5%, you know, if it's 5-10%, it's really good. Literally half the audience. And they raised more money that fall than they'd ever raised before because they had this whole new audience of folks to connect with, you know. And the point was, you know, every once a week, it was kind of the encouraging word, the inspirational thought for marriage. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, we need scholarship for our event that's coming.
So more again, bring value back to the supporter.
Yes.
Before you're asking, which is sadly sort of a newly rediscovered approach to fundraising. I hate saying that, but it's the truth.
Well, and part of what, you know, what Kat was talking about with the event, one thing that's really nice about what we've accomplished is when you have an event specifically around raising money for a specific program or something, and you get these folks that download or text and connect that way, you're able to communicate back to them specifically about that event. What you can, you know, we want to raise money to renovate the gym. Well, you can talk to those folks that connected at the event specifically about the gym. Don't talk to them about five other programs. Talk to them specifically about what they attended, the event they attended, and what we've raised, the money was raised for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I've sold enough programs to nonprofit organizations to know that often, especially when it comes to technology, you sort of hit a brick wall where, you know, whoever's involved in the buying decision says things like, well, wait a minute, to get, you know, to onboard technology, we have to have our whole technology committee involved in this. And it's a 6-month RFP process because the investments are usually significant. You know, is that the conditions that would be around a ViewSpark engagement? How does that work? What does that look like?
No. No, but we do run into that and get that question a lot. We're very committed to making sure that this was something that was accessible. The idea here was, you know, again, born from our own need of wanting to use a technology like this. And the last thing that would be helpful is to make it really difficult to get on board, right? So we know what that's like. We've all sat in front of boards and had to convince them to make decisions about things. So we wanted it to be something really easy, accessible, and affordable. So first of all, we're simply a monthly subscription. So that makes it pretty easy to go, well, let me try this out and see if it's something for us. And I don't have to make a multi-year commitment or anything like that around implementation. There's no hardware. There's no this is a simple sign up and go kind of process. So our typical setup is pretty nominal setup fee. And then again, a very scalable monthly fee. And then we do not require a long-term contract. So most organizations, especially some of the things that are offering some other type of communication technology, you got to sign up at least a year, if not a two-year contract. We have such incredible retention with the clients that we're working with that we know you're going to love it. And so we do a month to month. So okay. You can, yeah, of course, you sign up and everything, but then if you try it for a couple months and it doesn't work for you, you can opt out.
Wow.
and just stop using it. So, but that's not going to happen because
sure. You're gonna... So on that topic, Q4 of 2018 was pretty terrible for a lot of nonprofits. Fundraising results, you know, other than donors giving $1,000 or more, fundraising was down. And I heard a lot of organizations, you know, people like M&R who do the email benchmark study every year, they came out immediately and said, you know, not only is fundraising down, but it's really down in the digital space. But when I've talked to some of your clients, they don't seem to report that same thing. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's been a real win for us and actually been a lot of fun to talk about. It was a tough fall and fundraising was down, but our clients did really well. And in fact, one of our clients said that, you know, every program they did was down, but ViewSpark was up and literally mm-hmm. saved our campaign. We saw a 10-to-1 ROI for
I'm
our
sorry.
Clients.
Say that again. You saw a 10-to-1 ROI?
10-to-1 ROI. Yeah.
I have trouble talking about it because I feel like people won't believe that.
We actually like
I've got the data.
Should we just say it's a 7-to-1 ROI? Should we make it more, you know?
We started at 9. Like, should we really publish it?
But you know, and I would love to say we're going to get 10-to-1 year round. That's right. Not, you know, that's not the case. But industry standard in the fall would be 4-to-1 maybe. You know,
pretty close.
Close somewhere around there.
Yeah.
On a good year. And I just go back to we provide our clients with the ability to tell the donors what's happening with their dollars. We have one of our clients, a rescue mission, had a huge snowstorm come through and literally walked outside, took his phone, opened the ViewSpark app and said, looked into the phone and said, I'm standing outside, it's freezing cold. I've got my hat and my jacket on. Thanks to you, all the homeless folks are inside and they're safe and they're warm. Hmm. Didn't ask for money, didn't do it. It was a 30-second video, and it was, by the way, it was very raw because the wind was blowing and you couldn't hear his words very well because the wind was blowing in the microphone. Raised thousands and thousands of dollars from that 30-second video and probably a 4-minute exercise of walking outside. But again, it was real. It was what was happening right now. It was timely and it made sense. So I think that's what really created that win for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's awesome. Well, we're just about out of time, but or at least I believe, unless I'm mistaken, that you all have some sort of special opportunity for listeners of our podcast.
Tell we have to that. Do a special. We come on your show, Andrew. So.
Yes. Yeah, so for all of you listening to Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, we are going to do a 50% discount on your setup fee. So all you need to do is when you speak with us and our team, just mention the podcast and we'll apply that automatically to your setup and you'll be on your way.
That's awesome. A 50% discount on your setup for ViewSpark. All you have to do is mention Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can find us. Go to viewspark.org and from there you can fill out a interest form.
Give us a call from the number on there.
Yeah.
Browse around, watch the demo.
Come find us at the conference.
Yeah, come find us.
Awesome. Thank you both for being here. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for building a great platform.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, brought to you exclusively by Newport One. Newport One can make a difference in your fundraising so that you can change the world. You can always reach us at podcast@newportone.com. Please take a moment to rate this episode on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. When you rate this episode, it will help more nonprofit leaders just like you to help find us and get the information that they need to raise more funds for their organization. Thanks again for listening today.